Subcommittee on Economic Development and Tourism will come to order. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo.
Here.
Vice Chair Porter.
Here.
Representative Zalbritton.
Here.
Anton. Cumbie.
Here.
Dental.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Hudson. Reed.
Here.
Rogers.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
And Watson.
A quorum is present. I will ask anyone in the audience to please turn off your cell phones. If you wish to speak, please fill out an appearance card. Today we will take up three bills, House Bill 437 by Representative Daniel Davis, House Bill 563 by Representative Rodriguez, and PCB 13-02 by the Economic Development and Tourism Subcommittee, which will be presented by Vice Chair Porter. We will start with Representative Davis. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity. I just want to let you know that Representative Rodriguez and I are in uniform today. We knew that. We wanted to make sure that we followed the guidelines, Mr. Chairman. I want to present a bill to you today, and I appreciate the opportunity. I think it's a very important bill. I think many of you have been affected by this bill in your communities, and that is extending the community contribution tax credit to 2025. I think it's very important and has done a lot for all of our communities about economic development and making sure people that have worked hard are able to afford a home and get the proper counseling needed to be able to acquire that home. Also, we're looking at streamlining the process, the allocation process, in the manner that provides a balanced and open, transparent process and more flexible, less time-consuming, capable of reacting to changing markets and needs, and less costly process in the finance area, the Housing Finance Corporation. It will also enhance the information provided to the legislature, the governor, and the public by augmenting several areas that they will be reporting on an annual basis. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions, Representative Davis? Representative Rogers, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Representative?
I'm doing just fine. I see here, after the Opaga study, that there was reference to amending state law to provide for board appointments to include the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. Are we doing anything in this bill to
not in this bill. There were basically 13 out of the 16 recommendations have been already been approved. We're handling one of them with this piece of legislation. They've already handled the travel issue that you read about administratively. So, but that is one of the areas where I feel like it's probably more important for us to get this streamlining process in place to make sure we get the money on the street. That's probably the most important thing we can do right now. I'd like to keep it in that area.
Any further questions? There are a few people in the audience that wish to speak or wave in support. Bridget Joseph, Big Ben Habitat for Humanity, waves in support. Thank you, Bridget. Alfreda Mitchell, waves in support, representing herself. Scott Winsler, Alachua Habitat for Humanity, waves in support. Mary Kay O'Rourke, representing Habitat Jax, waves in support. And she's available for any questions if any members in the committee have. Kelly Piscata, Habitat for Humanity, Seminole, Apopka, waves in support, is also available for any questions. Margaret Sharp, waves in support, and is also available for any questions. She's from Habitat of Humanity. She's here on behalf of herself. Ms. Sharp, would you like to speak to the audience? You're recognized.
Good afternoon to each and every one of you. I'd just like to say that Habitat for Humanity has been a great deal in my life. I was in a drug-infested area, and by going with Habitat, I got a chance to move my granddaughters, which came out very good. One is working on her PhD. The other one is working on her ARNP, which is a nurse's practitioner. we were living in a drug-infested area. Now we're in a drug-free area, good neighbors, and if it hadn't been for Habitat, I don't know what I could have done with my grandkids, because all four of my kids, drug-related, but these two girls have really made it good. And I think Habitat is a good place for people that need to persevere. It's a good person to be involved with. And if anything you all can do to keep it alive, I think you should do that. Thank you.
Any questions for Mrs. Sharp?
Thank you, Mrs. Sharp. Congratulations.
Wellington Meffert, Florida Housing Finance Corporation. Thank you, sir. Julie Roberts. Oh, I'm sorry. Next bill. So, is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak? Are there any members on the committee that wish to debate the bill? Representative Reed, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say to you, thank you for bringing this bill forward. It is such an awesome bill, I would have liked to have stolen it from you. Thank you very much for bringing the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else wishing to debate? Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly support this bill. I think Habitat and other, this entity, this funding source started many decades ago, and it's clear there's still a need to do this, but it also creates an economic boom. You have companies that sell products to build these homes, so it's not just something we're doing as a good deed, which I think that's a part of it, but it also helps stimulate the economy, so I certainly am supportive of this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Anyone else wishing to debate the bill? Representative Davis, you're recognized to close.
That was the best debate I've ever heard in my entire life. And seriously, ladies and gentlemen, the testimony of this young lady that's sitting on the front row, thousands and thousands of people have been affected the same way since 1980, since this contribution tax credit has been available in the state of Florida, and we need to continue it. And we also need to streamline the other processes so we can get the money on the street faster and more efficiently. So I appreciate your support.
Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representative Zollbritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson? Reed?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, this bill is reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
We will now take up House Bill 563 by Representative Rodriguez relating to reporting requirements for economic development programs. Representative Rodriguez, you're recognized. There is a strike call. We will begin with the strike call.
If I may explain the bill and then explain the strike call. Is that appropriate?
You're recognized, yes.
Thank you. Bill 563 relates to the economic development programs that we have here in our state. Our state administers almost a dozen programs that relate to taxpayer funds that are put into a private public partnership for the purpose of economic development. So tax credits, tax exemptions, tax refunds are related to any number of, you know, the aerospace industry, to other qualified target industries. And what this bill does is it increases the transparency related to those programs, helps us to better evaluate them. It gives us better information, and it gives us that information in a more accessible format. There are two things that the bill does. It requires more data collection from the Department of Economic Opportunity than they currently collect, related to how are these programs doing? What is the return on our investment as taxpayers in these programs? And the other thing that it does is it creates a website. It requires the department to create a website to post this information and regularly update it. And the type of information that that is required is information related to the program participant. You know, what business is this? How big is the business? Where is it located? Information related to the project. But then also, what is the expected return on investment in terms of capital investment, jobs, you know, incremental tax revenue that is projected in terms of us entering into this agreement? And then on the back end of that agreement, and as we're implementing it, how well are we doing? Are we getting the return on investment? Are we doing better than expected? Are we doing worse than expected? And there's a couple other pieces to it. One is specific to one of the programs, which is a quick action closing fund, which is a discretionary fund that that the governor uses on projects that are of higher profile nature. It requires a timeline to be posted yearly as to how quickly are we getting that program done when it's used. It also requires the Office of Economic and Demographic Research to develop the model we use to evaluate these programs. So it's not a model that is internal to the Department of Economic Opportunity. It's actually developed externally according to the bill. And that's what the bill does.
Would you like to explain the STRICALL?
I will. The STRICALL is really motivated by two things. One is that the bill as written was not intended to change the existing confidentiality that the public-private partnerships enjoy right now. That's an issue that last session was really hashed out, and there was a presumption of 6 months when a contract is sealed, it is exempt from public records for 6 months, primarily because oftentimes these are businesses moving to the state. They need to be protected in terms of you know, their business plans and interests. And we did not want to relitigate that debate, as it were. So one of the real primary change is just to make the bill conform with that requirement as is. And the second thing is simply to match the requirements that the bill has with what is actually practical and possible. And I really want to commend your staff, Ryan West and Danny Collins, also an intern, who really worked with us, had DEO at the table as well as Enterprise to make sure that this is actually doable. And that's what the STRICALL does, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions on the STRICALL amendment? Representative Hudson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And makes good sense to me what you're trying to do. My question is, in the staff analysis that identifies some drafting issues that I'm presuming was for the first draft, did those drafting issues get corrected and incorporated into the STRICALL?
Yes.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Any further questions? Representative Eagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You may have answered this question, just want to get a little bit more clarity. Big believer in what you're doing. This is great. Some accountability and some transparency. And as you said, it does get a little bit sensitive when we're talking about businesses and the transparency, the competitiveness factor, and even be competitive among other states. Is there anything in here that could potentially be harmful in a sense of our competitiveness, making them be too transparent, or something that would perhaps cause a business to deviate from wanting to locate here?
Representative Rodriguez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would not. One of the primary issue that we're balancing against transparency is exactly the one that you mentioned. We want to remain competitive as a state. I think from a general perspective, regardless of party lines, many of us, I think, here would agree with the statement that in a democratic free market system, the government should be focusing on education, infrastructure, and not picking winners and losers in the private sector. We make exceptions when it's proven to us that it can work, and there's very specific circumstances where we make exceptions. All of these programs are basically places where we as a legislature make exceptions. And part of the reason why we do make exceptions is there's somewhat of an arms race between states in some of these economic development programs. That's an unfortunate reality that we have to deal with. And so a lot of the conversation with the department, as well as Enterprise, was how to balance these factors, the need to be able to evaluate it and to have public information on it, And for many of us, the constituency that we most think of are those businesses in our district that are Florida businesses that are competing with somebody who's getting a tax break, and they're not. And those are the businesses we're really focused on in terms of transparency. So we have really tried to balance those interests. The one area I think is, for example, in the Quick Action Closing Fund, the bill requires yearly to report the number of days between for those projects where the deal has been sealed, and we actually are engaging in a partnership. It requires an average between the number of days between when the application was received and when we sealed the deal, and that's information that no other state is going to be providing, and so. That's one area where, you know, we are taking a step and saying, listen, we're going to err on the side of transparency here to encourage better performance, but to my knowledge, no other state does that.
Representative Eagle, recognize.
Thank you. Just one follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. On that Quick Action Closing Fund, so that's done retroactively. It's filed and made transparent after the deal's done. It's not done while the deal's being made.
Recognize.
Yeah. Correct. It's retroactive. And it's an average over the entire program over a year, so that you would not be able to go in and say for this specific business it took 60 days rather than 10 days. And the reason is because there could be any number of reasons why it took longer in one particular instance.
Representative Cumby, recognized.
The process question, I know that Representative Ray Rodriguez has a similar bill, and I don't know how that works. If you take yours, he takes his, if we try to find the best of both, or how does that work? I know you're familiar with it.
Representative Rodriguez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With reference to the other bill, there is another bill that would operate very well with this one. They complement each other. It's a bill that was filed by Senator Gardner, and in the House, it's actually convenient because it's the other Rep. Rodriguez. So I'm wearing uniform here today from Ray Davis, and I'm also representing the Rodriguez caucus, I guess, on this issue. But the bills match each other. The bill that Senator Gardner and Representative Rodriguez have is a more comprehensive bill that deals with reporting requirements and deals with making sure that we're on a schedule to evaluate these programs comprehensively. It does not deal with the data collection and with the website. And this bill deals really only with the data collection and providing that information. And really, the two would go hand in hand as I've seen it. I've spoken with the other Rep. Rodriguez, and I know that Senator Sobel, who's sponsoring this bill in the Senate, has spoken with Senator Gardner.
Follow-up, Representative Cumby. Are there any members in the audience that wish to speak as to the amendment? Are there any members wishing to debate the amendment? Without objection, we'll show the amendment adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions for Representative Rodriguez on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions, is there anyone from the audience wishing to speak on the bill as amended? Seeing nobody in the audience wishing to speak, are there any members that wish to debate the bill? Seeing none, Representative Rodriguez is recognized to close. Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representative Zalbritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumby?
Yes.
Bentel?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, committee substitute for House Bill 563 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. We will now take up Proposed Committee Bill 13-02 by the Economic Development and Tourism Subcommittee relating to development permits. Vice Chair Porter, recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. This bill addresses the National Flood Insurance Program, which was created by Congress in 1968 to address a shortage of flood insurance available from private insurance markets. It is administered by the Federal Emergency Management Administration. And it addresses House Bill 503 from the 2012 session, which contains some provisions that, if implemented, would have jeopardized Florida's voluntary participation in NIFP. So So this PCB makes technical changes to sections 125.022 and 166.033 in Florida statutes to bring state law into compliance with the federal requirements of NFIP, and that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions for Vice Chair Porter? There are no amendments on this bill. We have an appearance card from Julia Roberts, Florida Division of Emergency Management. You're recognized. Great, thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to speak? Seeing none, are there any members wishing to debate the bill? Vice Chair Porter, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wave closed.
Chandra, please call the roll.
Chair Trujillo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Porter?
Yes.
Representative Albritton?
Yes.
Anton?
Yes.
Cumbie?
Yes.
Dental?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Rogers?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
And Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Any closing comments? Thank you. Representative Smith moves, we move.